To the house of the Lord.
I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord."
I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord."
Standing on holy ground,
bound firmly together,
we give thanks to the name of the Lord.
And together
we will pray for peace.
Peace within these walls.
Peace within friends and families.
Peace within ourselves.
In the house of God, we give thanks to the name of the Lord.
In your bulletin, you'll find the song for Advent, Come Light of the World. I'd like to ask you to stand if you're able. The choir will sing verse 1, then congregation is invited to sing verse 1, and then we'll go on to verse 3 and 4. You'll see them at the bottom.
Come light of the world.
Advent is walking in the way of God's heart. The visual committee decided to focus on simple, clean, and white decorations to emphasize the purity of God's heart. The nativity scene is set up in long rows to emphasize the journey each one of them took to reach the Christ child on that beautiful Christmas day, Christmas night. Each Sunday, new figures will appear in the windows. The first Advent starts with Mary and Joseph and the angel, who in hope began the journey. The large stars are hung to represent the ones that were followed on this very journey. The paned windows are included in the visual to give a new perspective on this story we have heard year after year. Just as while walking down a dark winter street, light spills from the windows, lighting our way, God's love shines through, filling our hearts. This Advent season, we encourage you to look in on the Christmas story and find your journey in the way of God's heart.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone here to the start of our new church year, First Advent. Is there anyone that would like to be introduced this morning? Okay, fair enough. Well, welcome everybody, and if the kids could come up, we can have the children's story.
Good morning. Happy Advent. You guys can all see, and maybe some people in church could smell. What do I have? Popcorn. And when you see and smell popcorn, what does it make you think about? Yep. Like movies, Rhea. Butter, yes. So, yes, popcorn. So, lots of times we buy popcorn when we're waiting for a movie to start. So, the theme for today is waiting. What do you think the church is waiting for? Yes. The church is waiting for Jesus. That's right. This is called Advent. And I just learned something new getting ready for this story. Advent actually is a word that means important stuff is coming. So Advent season means important stuff is coming. Pretty cool, eh? So we've already said that the important thing that's coming is Jesus' birthday, but the church is also not just waiting for Christmas, the church is waiting for Jesus to come back the second time. And we have to be ready. What do you do to get ready to see a movie? You get popcorn. What do you do to get ready when you know Jesus is coming back? You make room in your heart. Does anyone else have more ideas? Well, what could we do as a group of people? Well, can I give you some of my ideas? We could love each other. Do we do that? Yes. Could we care for people that are sick? Yes. Could we feed hungry people? Yeah. The world is pretty good at feeding people around Christmas time, but it's our job to be ready for Jesus anytime. We need to worry about feeding people all the time and helping the poor. Doing things like that keeps us ready for the day when Jesus will come back. Could we bow our heads for prayer? Dear Jesus, we look forward to your return. We don't know when you are coming, but when you do, we pray that we will be ready when you come. Amen. And you can go get ready for Christmas Eve. See you.
I'd like to share a few announcements and then also allow you time to share as well. Dick and Erica Cron and the family of Ella Bickert would like to thank everyone for their expressions of sympathy, prayers, and cards on the passing of Ella Bickert. It's wonderful to have such a caring church family, and you were all very special to Ella. Also, number three, congratulations to Jordan and Brandy McLaughlin on the birth of their daughter, Ainsley Lynn McLaughlin, on November 25th. Number four, just a reminder that Aaron Fest is coming, and number five, the ladies program will be coming next week also. Number nine, all singers are welcome to join the Advent and Christmas choir again this year. Rehearsals are at 9:30 Sunday mornings. I was also given this announcement. This is an update on the health of Jake Taves. He was taken to Grace Hospital by his son yesterday. He has been diagnosed with pancreatitis, which is an inflammation of the pancreas. He sent greetings to our church family. Is there anyone else that has a note?
Carolyn, my life is full of so many good things, and we recently found out about another one. We thought we would share that with you so you could celebrate with us. Carrie and Aaron have decided that Carol and I need to be grandparents again. And so, starting in May, we're looking forward to that.
Anybody else?
Hi, this is Sarah, and I would just like to invite all ladies to come next Sunday. This will probably be the last one that Willing Helpers will be putting together. So I really would appreciate everybody that can possibly make it to come. There will be just a short program downstairs. Everything will be downstairs. So and you can read it on number 5. And you can call me if you want to present something, and we'll put together a short program. So see you next Sunday.
Evo Coet here, regarding Jordan and Brandy. We're the grandparents, Cindy and Evo.
Hi, Frieda Redekoff. Nestri has moved to his own apartment, and he reminded me gently this past weekend that he does cook his food, but he does not have a microwave to warm up the food when he comes home anywhere between 1:30, 1:45 in the morning. He works at Palliser, so he lives on Taché, and it takes him a bit to get home by bus at that time of the night. So if anyone has or knows of someone who is willing to part with the microwave, we will accept it with appreciation. Thank you.
We just wanted to thank everyone for your thoughts and prayers over the past couple weeks and meals. A little bit of an update. I am obviously home and discharged from the hospital now. I was quite sick and didn't realize it. Our little Simon, though, is still in the hospital. He is working on feeding, but otherwise he's completely unhooked from all of his monitors. And when he decides to take all of his food by bottle for 2 days, he can come home. So we're hoping that'll be soon. I'm getting anxious to get him home. your continued thoughts and prayers as we figure out what life looks like now, and we wait for our family to come back around Christmas.
Anybody else? Thank you.
Please join me in turning to number 178 in the Hymnal Worship Book, and let's sing a well-known Advent song, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. I'm going to ask you to stand, please.
From our fears and sins, release us. Thank you. You will see in your bulletin that says there, what does it say, 50th anniversary presentation. What I really want to do is I want to celebrate, not present. I think the older I get, the more important celebrations become for me. I like to take every opportunity to say, hey, people, you're still alive. Let's celebrate. Happy birthday, anniversary, all of those things become very important. Now, today we want to celebrate those who have lived together for 50 years as a married couple. 50 years, half a century. Now, once you're older than that, that doesn't seem that long. But when you're a young person, 50 is an eternity. And I'm also aware that some people will not be able, have not been able to live to that point. And many will not be able to celebrate that occasion. So when that occasion arises, we need to celebrate. We need to give thanks. So I want to recognize and celebrate and present three couples today. And I'm simply naming them in alphabetical order, not by date. Arno and Betty Johnson, will you come and join me? Victor and Betty Lowen, and John and Helen Zacharias. Now, let's celebrate those 50 years with you. We also want to give you a little gift. Now, this is a buck. And you can put it to any use you like. You can keep all your mementos and memories in there if you like. Or childhood pictures, and then show it off to your grandchildren. Whatever you want to do. But as a church, we want to celebrate and acknowledge this special time, 50 years together. And to you. Thank you. Now, may God be gracious to you and give you many more days and years to celebrate. 50 years are special. Some have even reached 60 years and 70 years. So, yes, God can be good. And if you're not, then celebrate this day and every day that you have. May God preserve your love. You know, life gives ups and downs. It can't have always been easy. So I'm always amazed and encouraged by people that's lived through it all and still stuck to each other. So, may God bless you.
God of grace, we thank you for the season of waiting. Thank you for the beauty of the sleeping earth waiting for spring's new life. Thank you for the joy of children waiting for the excitement of gift-giving. Thank you for the gift of familiar carols whose joyful music touches waiting hearts. We pray for all who are waiting this morning, people who are waiting for an end to violence because they have known too much war. People who are waiting for healing because they live with sickness and pain. People who are waiting for good news because they are weighed down with sorrow. We pray for all of the earth that is waiting. Creatures who are waiting for protection because their environment has been destroyed. Waterways that are waiting for renewal because they have been contaminated. Lands that are waiting to be redeemed from pollution because we have forgotten that God called the land. Throughout the world, in and on and under it, waiting happens. waiting grows and gathers. The earth is pregnant, waiting for redemption. In eager expectation, we wait for the revelation of the Son of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture reading today is Matthew 24, verses 36 to 44. But the exact day and hour? No one knows that, not even heaven's angels, not even the Son, only the Father knows. The arrival of the Son of Man will take place in times like Noah's. Before the great flood, everyone was carrying on as usual, having a good time right up to the day Noah boarded the ark. They knew nothing until the flood hit. Swept everything away. The Son of Man's arrival will be like that. Two men will be working in the field. One will be taken, one left behind. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, one left behind. So stay awake, alert. You have no idea what day your master will show up, but you do know this. You know that if the homeowner had known what time of night the burglar would arrive, he would have been there with his dogs to prevent the break-in. Be vigilant, just like that. You have no idea when the Son of Man is going to show up.
First of all, I'd like to say Happy New Year's. Okay, some people didn't get that. You know that in the church calendar, we start the new year today. This is New Year's Day. The Christian tradition has it that you start off solemnly with reflection. So when you say Happy New Year's, ancient Christians would have said, That's what you might hope for. And that's what you will have to work for. But it is not happy yet. We come to expect Advent and Christmas, and we want it in our face. It looks great to have the tree and the lights and the candle burning. The shopping season has already begun, and you hear carols everywhere. And we even had some snow out in the street. So we can sing it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, right? But the text that you just heard, it doesn't fit into that mood at all. Not at all. When I started working on it 2 weeks ago, I said, I wish I could take something else. Speak about anticipation. Speak about expectations. All those beautiful things. Why talking about watch and wait and be ready? It doesn't sound like Advent to me. So let's focus on the purpose of Advent before I go to the text. 800 years ago. No, that's wrong. 800 years before the first Christmas, before Christ was born, the prophet Isaiah began to tell the people that help was on the way. He said, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And for 800 years, for 20 generations or so, people waited for that light to shine in their life. He wrote it to people who were in dire straits. There were many people who had given up hope. There were many people who had given up faith in the existence of God. There were many people who said, if God exists, he doesn't care. So why should I care about God? Sound familiar? 800 years of waiting for the Messiah to come. He said, for us, the child is born, a son is given, he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The peace of God is at hand. They will change their swords, which are instruments of death, into plowshares, which are instruments of nurture. Everything will change. And then the waiting began. 8 centuries. Then John the Baptist shows up and he renews the call of Isaiah. And he says, time is near. Straighten up. Fly straight. Because the promised one is just around the corner. When Jesus finally came, many, many people missed it. In fact, many have missed it to this day. They're still waiting. But the ones who heard John's message and recognized Bethlehem's baby, on them, indeed, a light did shine. And they welcomed him as the Savior and as their Lord. So Advent is a time of practice waiting. It's a time to wait. Celebration of the Savior's coming into the world. And it's a time to anticipate his coming again. The world rushes into Christmas, getting caught up in the smells and the bells of the season. And since we are part of the world, we get caught up in the commotion of Christmas as well. And no wonder when we are a bit surprised when we show up on first of Advent in the church, and the church does not share that kind of mood and attitude. It doesn't sing the songs that the world sings, because it moves slowly, taking time to consider what Christmas means. We wait, we watch, and we consider how the coming of Jesus changed the world. and how his coming again will change the world all over again. This is Advent. So, wait and be prepared. When it comes to dealing with Scripture, Jesus does not appear to be a rigid literalist. I always have a little trouble with people who read a verse and then insist that this is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And everything else has to be disregarded. That means everybody else has to see it their way. Jesus doesn't exactly do that, does he? He doesn't even follow the commandments. And he reminds the people that the commandments were not made for man was not made for the commandments, but the commandments for man. Laws were not there to live by, but to help us live. The Sermon on the Mount, he will talk about, hey people, you have heard it said of old, then he'll add, but I tell you, and he changes the meaning, gives it much greater significance. Something similar happens in today's text. Jesus recounts the story of Noah. Now you all know the story of Noah, right? Okay. And but the way Jesus tells it here is not the way I remember. That's not how I learned it in Sunday school. That was a whole different ball of wax there. Those were all bad people. Okay? And they deserved what they got. And only Noah and a few others, they would survive the sinfulness of humanity. Now look at how Jesus looks at this text. He says, people in the days of Noah were occupied with eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. What does he say? He say, they did ordinary, acceptable human activities. He doesn't make them out to be bad. Simply, just ordinary people doing ordinary things as we do every day. The problem lies not in those activities. It's not in what they're doing. But how the people in Noah's time didn't know until the flood came and took them all away. They didn't know. And the church wants to remind us with history. Every new beginning of the season of Advent remind us that, hey, reflect. Wait a minute. What? Be ready. It is a matter to wait, to watch for God's coming into our midst. The usual business of life goes on. We have done it all our lives, and we will continue for as long as we can. Let me tell you, those who can't continue with the ordinary business of life are very sad that they can't. Just go to Bethania and talk to the people who are, you know, bound to a bed or a wheelchair and can't even feed themselves. The ordinary things are good. It's not bad. Living life is good, whatever the ordinary thing is. That's not the issue Jesus takes. He says, they all did ordinary things, but they were not aware of God's coming into their life. Jesus cites the Noah story to illuminate how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man at the end of history. The separation of those taken and those left does not depend on people's behavior. Now that would be easy for us to say, they are left behind, and I've heard many people say that. And there are some movies and stuff that say that, right? They are left behind because they were bad people. It doesn't say whether they were good or bad, as much as about their awareness.
whether they are capable of recognizing Christ when he comes like a lightning flash across the sky. What's called for is not perfect behavior. What's called for is alertness. What's required is not abstaining from ordinary life, but maintaining in the midst of the ordinary a sense for the extraordinary, a recognition of the holy. Imagine you were traveling on a train. Have you ever traveled on trains? I tell you, if you go either city metro system, I've traveled those in Munich, I've traveled those in Paris, France, and if you go to the States, you can get some very nice systems there as well. I can't say I know the Toronto one. Never used it. But when you go to a metro system, one thing, when you go from level to level, to train, to direction, whatever, you know what I observed, all people become very focused. You go up in the street and you see everybody is off in some other universe, their personal, private world. They go down to the trains and they all focus on one thing. They're one sort of focus. Which station, which train do I take to reach my destination? And everybody that gathers on the platform for the same train, they're all focused on that one train. Has it come? Is it there? Or is it arriving? Nothing else seems to matter anymore. And all the people, rich and poor, young and old, educated or not, everybody focuses on the same thing. And actually, I find it beautiful to behold. Just sit down once, forget the train, and watch the people. They focus. And that's something that we sometimes need in our life, like that train station focus. There's a train. It has either left, or it has stopped, or it is expected to arrive. And if I may use that for our life, the moment has either left, or it is there in the present, or it is yet to come in the future. Past, present, and future is so much part of the Christian faith. We believe in a God who acted in the past, who is active in the present, and who will be doing wonderful things in the future. Past, present, and future will hook up in the Christian's faith. And when we celebrate communion, we are reminded not only of the past, of 2,000 years ago when Judas, that bastard, you know, sold Jesus out. No. Today. And what it might mean to live in fellowship, in communion with God and with each other. So, we are set apart from Noah's distracted neighbors. Those neighbors preoccupied with the ordinary, enough to miss the train, so to speak, or in their case, the ark. People that focus on the coming of Christ, on the presence of Christ, are governed by that single reality. The train's gone, the train is there, or the train is yet to come. We should realize that reality in our life. Not trains, but Christ who has come. Christ who is here. And Christ who is yet to come. And that's what today's text is all about, isn't it? We celebrate Christmas, and that was 2,000 years ago. That's past. He has come. I remember when our children were still young. We sang German carols, and one of the German Christmas carols goes like, "Alle Jahre wieder kommt das Christuskind." every year again the Christ child returns, and one of our boys said, "But Mom, that's stupid. He can't come every year again." Yes. We sometimes forget to think about what we sing and what we say and how we live. Christ has come. But we confess that Christ is present here today in this community, in you. And not only that, he's present in the people next to you. Now, will you look at the people around and imagine you are meeting Christ? And when you go out of the church, and you meet people on the street, or on a place where you go out for lunch, or wherever you go, and you meet people that sit on the table next, or the ones that serve, or the ones that you see on the street asking for a dollar, or for some change, that's usually how they put it. Look into their eyes, and then see Christ in them. How about it? Christ has come, and he's here. And the New Testament teaches us that we meet Christ and do his will by loving not only God, but your neighbor as well. And whatever you have done, that's how the text will continue in the last judgment. To the least of these you have done to me. So those addicts and those troubled homeless people and those refugees and those bad neighbors and those people in our family who give us a neck and a pain in the neck. Look at them and see if you cannot meet Christ. Christ is here, but yet he is to come. And as we celebrate today, both Advent and Communion, let the coming of Christ, this waiting, be a preparation time for Christ's coming again. So that, not like the people in Noah's time, we will be aware of his coming. We will see the blessing and the joy, and we will not be left behind. May God bless us in our deliberations. May he bless us in the communion. May he bless us in our fellowship with each other as we celebrate Advent and Christmas. Amen. As we come to celebrate the communion service, just a brief announcement. In the middle of the plate, there's gluten-free bread, so if that's important to you, please help yourself. And when the wine is served, in the center again, there's grape juice for those who would prefer the juice over the wine. When Jesus had his last celebration with his disciples, celebration, a big dinner, he didn't know it was his last. He did. He took the bread, he broke it, and he said, "Listen, this is a symbol of my body, which is broken for you. So whenever you eat it, remember and proclaim his coming from this day forward." So let us partake in the bread and remember that it is Christ's body broken for us.
In the bleak winter, frosty winds made cold, burst her heart as iron.
Take, eat, and proclaim God's presence in our lives. After the meal, Jesus took the cup and blessed it, and he said to his disciples, "This is my blood shed for you, as often as you drink." As you drink the wine, remember not only that his blood was shed for us, but also that it portrays and demonstrates his love. Christ came. He is here.
will come again. Let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Lord of peace, the Lord of creation, be with us all as we celebrate this Advent season. May he come into our midst and give us joy in dark times. May we expect his company in the neighbors that we meet today and tomorrow. The Lord, forgive us, for we have forgotten that you are in our life. Bless us and keep us. Let your face shine upon us and be gracious to us. Look upon us kindly and give us your peace today and forevermore. Amen.
Our sending song 367, For the Healing of the Nations, we'll sing verse 1 and 4.